Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another meeting of the EdTech Club from TCEA. Thanks for all being here and showing up on time. You look ready to go today. I think we're going to learn lots. And learning, of course, is our subject matter. And today we're going to talk about what it means to learn and why students learn. We're going to talk about what it is we're actually preparing students for when they go through school and what they need to be ready for when they come out. So, what's the world going to be like when your students graduate? Well, we can't know for sure, but we can make educated guesses, and we can use data to make those guesses. That way, we know if the tools and methods that we're using are actually going to connect with students, and when they do, if those connections actually build skills that they can use in their lives, their communities, and their careers. Of course, career is a very interesting part of it. Of course, career and technology education is a big part of education today, and it probably plays some role in what you do no matter what you teach at what level. Of course, that's probably why you're a member of the EdTech Club. You're interested in education and technology. This week, we're going to hear from Amy Cardell. She works at CompTIA, the Computing Technology Industry Association. That's a trade association, basically, for the computer technology industry. What that means is that CompTIA has a vast archive of information. They're always looking at the tech industry to see how it's changing and evolving. We know the world's going to be different when your students graduate, and we know they'll have to be prepared for jobs that probably don't exist yet. So how do you make sense of all of that? Well, Amy's got a few tools from CompTIA that she's going to talk about today, and we're going to talk more broadly about preparing students for careers, especially when it comes to the tech industry. So if that sounds good to you, sit back, relax, and enjoy our conversation. We're going to be covering a lot of ground, and it all starts right now. Hey, everybody, I'm Andrew Roush. Thanks for joining us again at another meeting of the EdTech Club. And of course, we're going to bring in our guest speaker to jump into our discussion. But you know what? I think I'll go ahead and let her introduce herself.
I'm Amy Cardell. I'm Vice President for Strategic Workforce Relationships at CompTIA, the Computer Trade Industry Association. And really, what I do is create a tie between industry, because our members are industry, big tech companies, small tech companies, education and government, and other associations that are looking to have a role to play in the economy of the future. As we look at our students, and first of all, industry should say thank you to educators because you do the heavy lifting, and we see you as frontline of leading the workforce of the future, for modeling those behaviors of being a lifelong learner, for practicing good cyber hygiene. Everything you do, kids are watching. As a parent, I know this. And we want to say thank you to the teachers who do that day in and day out. And I think sometimes industry doesn't stop and say thank you. But what we think is really what industry can bring to you and should be thinking about is the future. And those students are going to be entering the workforce. So we want to share data that we have on our cyberstates.org website, where we collect to every zip code what those jobs are in your neighborhood, what the trends are nationally. You know, let's make sure that we're not teaching myths, that there's a lot of jobs in game software writing. There's really not that many jobs, but there's lots of jobs coming in data analysis. It's a cousin, right? But let's talk about it and then how that could apply to the interesting, fun things kids like about gaming. But let's be data-driven in our answers. And that is something we as industry are happy to share.
And so this is I guess this is sort of a way for the tech industry to take a look at the state of that industry and then communicate that back to education and say, this is what the tech industry looks like where you live.
Absolutely. And as we look into the future, we don't know where we're going exactly, right? So we do want to really think about teaching that lifelong learning skill.
Right.
And so if I look back in my career in tech, I came into tech by teaching myself to do software localization. That means, you know, I'm working in the library as a kid in college, and everybody keeps calling to say, hey, we need that in French, Spanish, Italian, and German. And I start to say, hey, this looks like a business, because I was there at the .com and thought, hey, I can do this. So I taught myself how to do that, right? And in tech, you're always going to be teaching yourself something. So that is a piece of normal. We have to normalize being a lifelong learner. And I think if you want to be future thinking now, especially with so much disruption coming through technology, also a very important message to share. So that lifelong learner piece and that self-care, not being stressed about it. You know, if you read a few pages every day on something, you can become an expert in a year.
Right.
You know, just pick your topic. And that's an emotional IQ we want to train to. I think we talk a lot about the technical aspect of the job, but modeling good self-care as a teacher is really important. And as an employer, we really, you know, there's such a focus on wellness culture now. And there's a reason for it, because a lot of times in industry, the people who fail, we see are fail for reasons of personal lack of self-care. You know, we all have, there's a lot of variables in life. So many times in our lives, you know, gosh, but the things we can take care of, like eating right, exercising, finding rest, and being a lifelong learner are things that we need to engage in, prepare our kids to do. And that emotional intelligence needs to come from our teachers in the first line.
It's interesting to hear, you know, from the industry side that we do need social-emotional learning. We need the skills that come out of that. And you need to have a passion for learning overall and a sense that you can learn things that you don't already know.
Yes, and to put limits on yourself is foolish, right? So those limits that we self-impose are the biggest ones.
And I could go learn a programming language.
Sure.
And that might help me get a job. But if I learn about programming languages, if I learn, you know, if you forgive the term, but if I learn the linguistics behind coding, which really is a language, that could be more powerful. It could make it easier for you in the future when the coding language that's popular changes.
Because it will change. We've
people are not, hey, Flash is gone. There's no, my wife learned a lot of Flash animation in high school. She went to a high school that specialized in STEM fields. She learned a ton of Flash animation. I think that the big ideas she learned doing that stuck with her. But knowing how to code Flash animations is a useless skill now.
Sure. That's just like I had Latin in high school. That was great too, right? That really helped me though later when I was learning Spanish, French, or
bingo. Yeah, it gives you a kind of a scaffolding to
to expect what you learn to be exactly what you'll use is foolish. You know, we need to really think about that in tech. And if we want to advance and engage and prepare students for the future, we need to talk about these so-called soft skills too. That is something that really isn't soft. I like to call them hard skills or employability skills. And the analogy I like to use is, you know, picture a tricycle. The front wheel's big. And you steer with that, and then there's two little wheels in the back, and the front wheel's character. And we can work on our character, but that's hard to change sometimes. And the back wheels, we have one maybe we call technical skills, and one we could call so-called soft skills. And all those soft skills, back to the story I told at first, are the reasons people fail at work. You know, the ability to be situationally aware is what a lot of it boils down to. And so we can practice that in schools with clubs and leadership opportunities and involving students in the classroom where they have to realize the cost-benefit of decisions they make. You know, spending too much money and time fixing something that you could replace inexpensively. These are things people have to learn at some point, and really bringing in those real-world examples of risk too. We have to develop a certain tolerance to risk, but especially in the world of cyber security concerns that we live in, understanding how to use a tool, but understanding what damage it can cause at the same time and what the severity of that damage could be is a really key thing to do. So translating that to an awareness of cost, be it security cost or financial cost, are crucial things we want to integrate in that classroom. And those can be done in a lot of different ways of with projects-based learning, too.
Yeah, and that's an important thing to learn, too, that, you know, it's always a balance in your skills and talents and what makes you feel fulfilled personally but also be useful in a community or in a workplace. Like, you know, I think learning tech skills is generally positive, But tech in and of itself is a neutral thing, and it doesn't have any value, good or bad, until people use it in some way, right? And
absolutely.
So it's not just knowing how the thing works, but knowing critically how we might use it, and hopefully use it, you know, to make things better in the world, right?
Right, and I think that's a really good point. People think of the big employers with tech, and the cool thing about tech jobs is they're everywhere. They're at small companies in your back 40, they're at big companies, but they're in every zip code in America. And so the skills you learn in tech can be portable with an industry-recognized certificate, or certification. It's important to think about industry-recognized certification, and that's what CompTIA does, is the A-plus certification being the first step, because that's the same here in the U.S., anywhere, Europe, Asia. Those are the standards that we refresh every year that people test to prove they have those competencies, but they're not necessarily going to work in a tech company. They might be working in a hospital. They might be working in a small manufacturing company. What company doesn't use tech behind it now?
Right. And so I guess I would ask a follow-on question then about kind of generally, since certification is one of the things you do, I guess tell us a little bit about the power of credentials. I mean, I think most people think of maybe a college degree as the most obvious kind of portable credential. Everyone gets it. Everyone knows what that means. But in a lot of industries and a lot of spaces and for a lot of jobs, including for educators, other credentials, other certifications are really important, at least have a lot of emphasis put on them. So what is the import behind credentialing in that way?
Yeah, I think that's a great question because, you know, I think we all think how we got somewhere is how everybody else will get somewhere. We all, you know, what we see is all there is. And as a myth buster, I would say, you know, to go into a tech career, most people would say, oh, you have to be really good in science and math. You know, that's really critical. Well, not so much. There's a lot of jobs in tech that aren't math heavy. There certainly are some that are very math heavy, but a lot of them aren't heavy in science and math. And a lot of good jobs are accessible without a four-year degree. Or maybe once you get in the door, you get that degree later. So we're seeing opportunities through apprenticeship to gain credibility in the field. We're seeing opportunities through community colleges. We're seeing opportunity through certification that's recognized by the industry to open the door. We're seeing opportunity for college degrees plus a technical skill. So it's wonderful if someone can go to college and major in the humanities or in even a non-tech field. But if they add an industry-recognized credential and some work experience in technology, they have a domain expertise in understanding maybe sociology plus some technology, then they're very employable. Right? And those combination of things where two sets of skills overlap slightly is where interesting things happen, right? And we really feel that a four-year degree isn't the only way into a great tech career, and that's an important message to share.
Yeah, it's not the only way, and it's neither the beginning nor the end, you know, necessarily. It could come at different points in the process, and different kinds of credentials could come at different points in the process. I think you're absolutely right. You know, no matter what you end up doing, there's going to be some crossover. Technology is going to touch every job in some way for the most part. And I think a lot of people could probably, if they took a step back, could probably see those little web of connections between their primary skills and their secondary skills and all the different kind of things they have to do in their job that aren't covered in the job description, you know.
Right. And, you know, we really look at what we're calling closing the skills gap. And there's a confidence gap people have to overcome to realize that they can work in technology. And there's not a lot of role models for women or minorities that say, oh, you know, there's people like me and I know people that are in those jobs. So it takes people telling stories to say, yeah, I found fulfillment because when I was working in technology, I was helping solve problems. I was helping people. It always comes back to people. And so that closing the skills gap is so huge because there's so many open jobs. You know, the tech industry in the U.S. is a darling of investment. There's a lot of open jobs that are very well paid, and economic empowerment can come from those folks who go after those jobs and advance to those careers. And so we want to be a myth buster that says, you know, you have to look like a nerdy white guy in a hoodie who loves calculus to be successful in tech. There's a broad range of jobs for you in technology, and they're not all scary. So we've created a website also called Future of Tech, talking about trends in technology. It's FOT.org. Because we want to say, you know, as you're exploring technology and want to understand what artificial intelligence means and where that's going, we want to be, as industry trade association, they're saying this is how it's defined. So we talk about the same thing and mean the same thing with the same vocabulary. That hygiene of vocabulary is really important, not to confuse machine learning with artificial intelligence and really understand the difference. And then to think about, oh, well, how does that apply to me? Because there's a lot of change happening fast. And we want to provide those resources. The other resource I mentioned earlier is cyberstates.org. That's our website of research we do on jobs. We base that on Bureau of Labor Statistics every year, looking at what jobs are posted, plus what being reported as salaries and where they are, so you can really see where that's going. We also are offering a lot of training for teachers. We'd love to see more teachers upskill with our basic certification. If you're interested in becoming more confident in technology or adding to your resume, we have a certificate called IT Fundamentals Plus. I'll give information to you later so you can link to that. You can download some free training and an ebook for that, and we'll give you a voucher to go take this certification exam so that you can pass an industry-recognized credential. We want to see more educators take advantage of that because that's a way to model that lifelong learning.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a big part of what educators are thinking about right now is how do I keep my skills fresh? That's something we think about here, of course, and it's also exciting to know that, you know, the industry is also saying we want to provide the tools to get people to help us in our mission of letting technology, you know, help people in their jobs and in their lives and in any of the other ways tech is going to hopefully make certain things easier or more accessible, just as it's made information and things like training really accessible.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's a lot of technology we're using every day, you know. We kind of underestimate that now. Mm-hmm. You know, if you flash back even 20 years, it's like, wow, what a difference. I can access online curriculum. It's crazy. It's awesome. And I trust in humans that we'll do the right thing. You know, there's definitely some scary things that could come down the future casting. But, you know, never underestimate the human ability to really maximize a resource and move things forward. And, you know, as a teacher, you're also influencing parents. Let's not forget that, because they might be scared. The older you get, the harder it is to change. And modeling that lifelong learning isn't just for the student, it's for the parent. And we've written a book for parents around putting the T in STEM education, T for technology, and educating them about the opportunity. I think there's some myth-busting to be done that tech jobs can be outsourced, that they're boring, that they're in big, dark, windowless rooms. Certainly, that's not been the case in my career. Coming from industry, we've been really consultative and very much working on real life problems with people, not hidden behind machines. So that book's available for free. We'll get it to you, a resource link for you there as well, if you have parents who would be interested in learning more about what those careers are. So we're delighted to be here, and we really want to say thank you to teachers for making students aware of the opportunities that are available to them in careers in technology.
Okay, I can see all of you glancing at the clock. Yes, the meeting is almost over, but I would be remiss if I let you leave without assigning a little homework. First things first, check out that Future of Tech website as well as the Cyber States website. They're both in the show notes, the description in your podcast player, and at tcea.org/podcast. On those sites, as Amy mentioned, you can check out what the tech industry looks like in your state, your area, and begin to get a sense of the kinds of careers we're preparing students for. And of course, the kinds of industries and jobs that will be out there once they are prepared. So, of course, homework, do a little reading. Go check those websites out. Now, I want you to have a chance to get a little extra credit. So if you're feeling proactive, take a look at both those sites, take a look at some other data you can find, and think about the planning you're doing. Think about what your district or your school or even your classroom is doing when it comes to career and technical education and generally preparing students for the jobs of tomorrow. So for extra credit, if you've got thoughts on that, send it over to podcast@tcea.org. Of course, that's a great way to get in touch if you like the podcast or have some suggestions, of course. And if you do like the podcast, go ahead and leave us a review in Apple Podcasts or your podcast player. It helps the show out and helps share this information with even more people like you. Of course, we always want to grow the club. So don't forget to check us out on social media and spread the word as well. You can find TCEA on just about all your favorite social media websites. And don't forget, there is still time, just a little bit of time, to register for our TCEA convention and exposition. This is our biggest event of the year, and we're going on 4 decades of putting it on. It's going to be a huge event, full of sessions and rich discussions like this, as well as live recordings of the EdTech Club. So if you want to come to an actual in-person meeting, that's the place to be. Now, if you can't make the full week or it's a little too late to get the full pass, don't forget that there's also exhibit hall only and one-day passes available. You can check all of those options out at convention.tcea.org. Okay, that's it. Don't forget to rep the club everywhere you go. If you can make it to our convention, please do. Your homework is to check out the resources that CompTIA has put together. And if you want to get that extra credit, send us your ideas and thoughts. We might just put them on the show. All right. I can see you're grabbing your backpacks. I get it. Time is up. So without any further ado, I'll let y'all go as long as you promise to come back for another meeting of the EdTech Club. We'll be back next week with even more thoughts and ideas to keep you engaged throughout the school year and beyond. But until then, I'm Andrew Rausch. Thanks for being part of the club. EdTech Club is a production of TCEA. To learn more and to join, go to tcea.org.